Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Hi, I'm Landry, and I'll be reading from John 4, verses 1 through 27. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who was baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have is just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do not know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the King of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in the truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" This is the word of the Lord.
Standing here in Central Park shortly after the amazing initiative God Belongs to My City mobilized nearly 1,500 teenagers to peacefully walk and pray from City Hall, then to the United Nations, Times Square, Rockefeller Center, and concluding here. Gospel rapper Andy C. Light Mineo has a bit more to share of this massive movement. This is David Hamm, GBIMC News, New York City.
In my city.
You know, he says in his heart, God don't exist. Fudo, who created the stars, planets like ours, Pluto and Mars. You need the proof, though the truth is so in the art. Yeah. This is the living God that I serve. Made everything in a minute with a single word. If you take care of the beast and even the birds, if it's perfect, take care of the people of greater worth. Don't you see? see our sin brought a curse. Christ redeemed us, now I know my prayers work. Since we believe he interceded, we are soldiers in army, our sergeant is he. Our weapons are not carnal, yo, we start on our knees. We are a movement of the young, on fire, and we zealous for the honor of our Father that's in heaven. Bring him
in my sin.
Insane, cause we be living like in this life it's about Christ and the die is gain. We denying the fame, don't retire, we aim till our last breath to go and confess the Messiah's name. So thy kingdom come, will be done in the city till we see him in the Holy One. That's where the homie from, but I know I can't be the only one. Any believers in here, show me some. Get your hands up for the Holy Son. For death be the night, you know we need to be the glory be the man, we already know we won. There's power when your people were gathered just to come seek ya. Then ask for your forgiveness, admit and we truly need ya. Taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, searching for hearts, but first I think we gon' start right
in my city.
What's up, guys? I'm David Givens. I'm a part of the youth group here at Stonebridge. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a junior at Boyd High School. My plans for college, I plan to go to community college for my freshman year, and then study at McMurray. I will be an English minor and philosophy minor and theology major. My calling is in youth ministry. My plans for the summertime in college will be, I'll be working at Sky Ranch as a counselor for kids that I've grown up being, and the counselors have really inspired me to be a counselor there. We've read from John 4, 1 through 27. I'll give you a little background about this. Jesus was traveling with his disciples, baptizing and teaching. Mainly John the Baptist is what he is, who he's with, who he's talking about. He stays in Samaria for rest. He stays specifically in the town of Sychar, Sychar. I don't know how to, I assume it's Sychar, which is near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jesus sits at Joseph's well. We learn that this is Jacob's field when it says in Genesis 49:28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. This is Joseph, or Jacob being the father. I'm talking about bringing Christ into our town, bringing God into our city. A lot of times throughout Scripture, Jesus says, start in your city and then branch out with missions. Because in our town, that's where we need it most. We have no idea how many people have not heard the gospel of Christ in our town, the city of McKinney. And that video is the God Belongs in My City movement. You can see by my church. They just came to Dallas February. And basically what it is they start on one end of the town and they pray over the entire town walking across it. Which is the coolest thing in the world. I did that at Sky Ranch where we prayed over the camp, and it's a really powerful thing. We talk about comfort zones, and we say, like, to get out of our comfort zone, going to a different country. The thing is that with missions, because it's not human, any mission is out of our country, is out of our comfort zone. It doesn't matter where it is. It's the mission part that's not in our comfort zone, not where the mission is. And so we talk about bringing Christ into my city, and we talk about hope. You know, we talk about missions, we talk about the gospel of hope. Throughout Christ's story, he did missions of hope, healing people who weren't supposed to be healed. This woman, she says, give me, he says, give me a drink of water. And she says, why are you asking me? I'm a Samaritan woman. First of all, this is very anti-political of Christ and counterculture of Christ. We're talking to a woman, especially a Samaritan woman. Women were not spoken to back then in the way that Christ spoke to her. And Jews did not like Samaritans. It wasn't found. So we find that the gospel of hope comes when Christ's death. That was the biggest one. Because he says, I will die and I will rise again 3 days later. If someone came and said that to you today, how would you believe him? Like, I will die and then come back alive. It takes a tremendous amount of hope to believe someone in that way. But it's also found near the end of Christ's life. He lived, 30-something years. And it's found when he's, again, when he's healing people and things like that. And he talks about this cup of water, or this water, living water that never goes away. It's always flowing. And I go back to my first year at a camp called Bridgeport, which is a camp that our youth group goes to. And there's a guy named Jeff Jacobson who was my counselor there, who was our cabin counselor. He gave us this cup. We're third graders. He gives us this cup and he says, this is your cup for the week. We're calling it your cup of life. If you throw this cup away, you will not get water in the cabin. Or unless you're going to drink from the sink with your hands, which wasn't very pleasant. So this is your cup of life. Have it for a week. And if you throw it away, you don't get any more water. So use it wisely. I find looking back that it was actually a way to save money from buying millions of cups, because third graders will throw them away right after they use them each time. So, but there's one big lesson that there's one cup that is needed with Christ. And it's this cup of water. And so this lady says, why are you asking me for water? You're not supposed to. And Jesus says, in fact, you're supposed to be asking me. Because it's my water that you will never be thirsty again. He says that if you drink from the wells of this earth, you'll be thirsty again. But if you drink from my water, you'll never be thirsty again. We talk about bringing Christ into our city where in Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Someone talks about worshiping in Jerusalem, where that's the home of the worship. She's like, you talk about bringing the gospel to my city, but you also say to go worship in Jerusalem. The thing is that wherever you worship, the Holy Spirit is there. There's not a certain place for you to worship. You don't have to come to church. Church is really just fellowship. It's really an excuse for fellowship. Yes, you learn things. You learn about God. But you get to be with your friends, which is really important. But you don't have to be here. The only form of worship you really need is prayer with God and reading scripture. You find a place in your home. My favorite place to be at my house, my favorite place to worship at my house, I like to turn the lights off. I go into my closet. I have a walk-in closet, and in the back is like baby clothes, a rack of baby clothes, or it's clothes that just stopped fitting me last year, which is my baby clothes. But I open them up, get into the back of the closet, sit there without anything in my hands. I turn off the music, all of the lights. I don't even have my Bible with me. I just sit there, and I close it up, and I sit there and be with the Lord. All I can see is black. You take Christ into your own home because he's there. We go to church because where two or more are gathered, the Holy Spirit is there. But the Holy Spirit is where we always are. And so you find a place in your home. I also like to go on my upper, I have a balcony in my backyard that I like to pull up a lawn chair and, sometimes I'll listen to music while just being with the Lord. I have a big tree in my backyard that I like to look at that kind of hangs over the balcony. And I'll look at the sunset going down over the houses across the golf course. Find a place in your house to be with the Lord. Be with the Holy Spirit. Be alone with the Holy Spirit. Turn off everything you have. Turn off your phone. Put down your phone for a minute and get in the text. Put down Facebook for a minute and get your face in the book. I learned recently that this Facebook thing, that I had become addicted to it. I was on it throughout the day just because I was bored. And I also was annoying people with how many statuses I would put. And I would find as I put more statuses, the statuses would get dumber and dumber. And so I finally told myself, I was like, listen, I can't be on Facebook anymore because I'm not preaching the gospel on Facebook. What I'm doing is a lot of times I'll show my anger. There was one time I blew up on all the teachers in McKinney when only one of them made me mad. I've had a lot of really good teachers and only one of them made me mad, but I blew up on all of them. And that's when I was like, okay, it's time to back away for a minute. Turn off all of the technology and just be with the Lord. That is the greatest thing you could ever do for yourself, is be spiritual. You go to church and you learn, but to really grow in Christ is to be with him. You know, you have your parents growing up. To grow with them, you have to be with your parents. To learn what they're doing, be with your parents. To learn how to be a good parent, look at what they're doing. Because they're doing a good job. And I hate to say that because I like to know I'm right. But I'm not right. My parents do a good job. And so we talk about bringing the message to our town. What are we supposed to do with that? We have different talents, you know. Some people can't speak on stage. Some people can't use their hands as well as others can. Some people can't sing. Some people can't play music. But we all have one gift. We talk about my calling and Taylor's calling in ministry. What is your calling in the town? What is your calling in life? Are you called to be a shoulder to someone who's having a bad day at work? Are you called to listen to someone and not speak while they're trying to take care of their problems? There's a lot of people who will call me and vent to me, and the easiest way to listen to someone on the phone is to put it down and wait till they stop yelling and everything like that, because it kind of hurts your ears. But you don't even, I mean, just be there with someone. But it's the greatest thing you could ever do for someone is be with them. You don't have to talk. You don't have to put a hand on their shoulder. Just be next to them. Because the Holy Spirit will move. And I remember being at Bridgeport, and there's a cross. It's at Vespers, which is an outdoor worship center. And I talked about this last time I spoke. We call it Cry Night. It's the last night of Bridgeport when everybody, you know, when we say bye to all the seniors and we just kind of be around the cross and be with each other. There were so many people crying, and we were together. We didn't really speak about anything. We didn't speak about our problems, but we were together. And we find that when we go home, our problems solve themselves because God is working through us. The Holy Spirit is working through us. We go back to our homes. We go back to our hometown, and now we're on this camp high. Where we bring Christ into our missions. How do we do that? How do we bring Christ? How do we always be on that camp high? Is the question. So many people are like, man, I'm on a camp high for a week and then I drop down and I just have a terrible time. You know, the trick is to having a camp high all the time is to be with the Lord. Find a place in your house and be with the Lord just as you were on that retreat. That's how you keep that camp high. That's how I've done it, and that's how you can do it too. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. We're all serving the same God through the different gifts that we have. There's so many different gods that are being worshipped, but there's one that we need to worship. And we talk about these idols, when we worship one God where we say we do, but we put idols in front of them. Anything you love with all of your heart that is not the Lord is an idol. Anything you do that is not for the Lord is an idol. Whether it be lustful things, lying, stealing, God will provide things for you. And they're wonderful things. We talk about stress, things like that. It says, let those who mourn, mourn, because out of mourning brings wisdom. Let those who are crying, cry with them, be with them, because they'll learn something from that. Maybe if they messed up in a relationship or something like that, and they kind of, you kind of cry it out, and then after you cry, you have a clear mind. That's learning. Be with God. Bring Christ into our own town by bringing Christ into ourselves. The gospel of hope is one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned. I remember freshman year, I didn't make the baseball team after playing, 10 years? I didn't make the baseball team, and that night I was devastated. But then I had a chance to go on stage and preach. And then the next summer at Bridgeport, I found my calling, which was in youth ministry. I didn't need baseball anymore. What I needed was God. What I had done was had baseball as my future. Instead of letting God control my future, I let my mind control my future and say, man, I'm going to be this great baseball player for the Atlanta Braves. That was my dream. That's my favorite team. But then finding my calling, God was like, listen, you're going to be a youth minister. You connect well with youth, use it. You know what people are going through. The cool thing about God is that he gave me the ability to put myself in other people's shoes whenever they have problems. Kind of think, and he'll give me that pain for just a second so I can know what they're going through. And he's put me through things so I can know what other people are going through. There was one time in eighth grade, at Bridgeport, yet again. This place is awesome, and I recommend you send your kids to this place whenever they're old enough. Eighth grade year, he said, you will have wisdom, and I want you to use it. I want you to start reading the Bible. And he gave me the ability to understand things about Scripture and read it and know it and be able to speak about it. Listen to God. Stop talking for just 1 minute and listen to God. Recently, I was going to a Bible study, and on the way there, I was telling myself, man, I'm going to give these great answers. I'm going to teach everybody everything about the Bible. And then I get there, and God's like, will you stop talking for a minute and listen, and maybe you'll learn something. I had been preaching the same message over and over again because I hadn't learned anything new. He said, listen, stop talking so much. Stop running your mouth because you're saying the dumbest things I've ever seen. Listen to people. And that's what I'm calling you to do. Listen to God. Be with the Lord and find hope within your life. If you're going through struggles, Paul talks about this in his 13 letters. He says that we will have struggles, but to rejoice in our struggles, because that's when God is the strongest. We are weak, yet he is strong. Be a child of God. Hope for greater things as you get older. And I know some of you are old now. Hope for greater things as yet you still get older. You still have time left. You're not dead yet. I was listening to a guy who was talking about retirement. And he said, I will never retire from my job because our job is to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter where you work. Our job is to preach the gospel. Build a relationship with the people you work with. It's the thing called sovereign love. It's a cool thing where in missions, a lot of people go in, do the work, and get out. Talk to your client. Talk to the person that you're preaching to and build a relationship, because after you retire from that workplace, you don't have to retire from preaching God to those people. Never retire from preaching the gospel. Start right away. Never retire. Build relationships where you are so it can carry on until you lay in your deathbed. The gospel of hope is for everybody. Everybody. Doesn't matter what religion they are. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what color of the skin they are. They have. The gospel of hope is to everybody. Because we all need it. We all go through hard times. So who will you be a Jesus to today? You hear that a lot. But Jesus is hope. Jesus is love. Be love to somebody. Find somebody to help. Search for that. God will bring him to you. Search for that. And ask it every day. Right when you wake up, say, Lord, give me someone to help this today. I really want to do your work. Paul says in one of his letters that if we don't have a heart for service, don't serve someone. Because you're not preaching God's word. You're doing work out of obligation, which is not what we're called to do as Christians. But the cool thing is about Christianity is that if you've really seen the Lord, you cannot live a casual life anymore. Your life has changed forever. Now you are on fire for the Lord. And now you actually do love people. It's not something that you have to look for someone to love on, but you love on everybody so you can serve everybody as a Christian. If you're not loving everybody, you should really check yourself. I do the same thing. I've said you a lot. I've done these same things. If I'm not loving everybody, I need to check myself. And that happened a few weeks ago. I wasn't loving my teachers. I wasn't respecting my teachers. So I prayed and God helped me out with that. And it's funny, in the last 4 weeks, I've built a greater relationship with my teachers in the full year because I had no hate in my heart. God completely took it away. So find where you are in the body of Christ. Are you the hands? Are you the feet? What are you? You've heard about Taylor's calling and my calling in the ministry. And what is your calling? That's all I have.
Message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.